I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
I was saying how bad college basketball is, because you don't watch these teams, and it's like, team scoring 14 points and a half. You know, St. Peter's had 20 points at halftime. I mean, it's just awful.
And then they have the nerve to call Oregon a bid stealer earlier today as they're dominating South Carolina. No, that's, I got to be completely honest, man. And I don't think I'm alone here. I don't watch a lot of college basketball, even Oregon.
Do you watch sports?
I do watch sports, lots of sports. College basketball is one thing that I have never been into. Like, honestly, like, not never. Like, there have been moments where I've been, like, super into the Ducks, but college basketball is tough for me to watch. I don't know why.
No, I mean, it is. It can be a slog.
Have you watched the NBA recently, though? It's not that great.
Not the Blazers falling apart.
Exactly.
No.
And the Blazers aren't even flirting with being the worst in the NBA.
Are they? Are you sure?
I think they won a game or two to.
I mean, is it only like a 5-game difference between them and the Pistons, like 14 and 19?
Let's see.
They're so close to being historically bad.
The Blazers have 19 wins right now.
I just told you that. I just put on my reporter cap and told you that.
Detroit and Washington each have 12.
No, I thought, okay.
Charlotte has 17. Spurs have 15. So they're only like the sixth worst team, and they are fucking atrocious. It's bad. It's bad out there in the streets, man.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're on right now, man.
Okay, so before we get into the shenanigans, I do just want to say that a friend of the pod has recently suffered, you know, a loss in their family, you know, out of respect and everything. Not going to say who and what and all that. And we've all been there. It's not great. The tunnel only gets brighter from the other side. It's going to be dark for a minute, buddy. But, like I said, we've been there and we know it sucks, and we're just, you know, we're thinking about you, you know, it's bad. I look forward to seeing you around the podcast universe again. So I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, I certainly echo that. I saw what was going on online, and I wasn't sure how comfortable that person was with us talking about it with them. But do know, my guy, like, we are definitely thinking of you right now. And, you know, if you need anything, we got you, man. We got you, man. I think us doing this is probably good as well. I imagine that's sort of one of the functions we serve, which is kind of weird to think about that people actually listen to us. But, yeah, man, what you said echoed. Booble says in the chat, I watch soccer, which is not the same as sports, by the way.
True. I mean, come on.
Valid.
So.
But there's no great transition from
I tried.
That.
Right.
No. There's no great transition from that. But do you guys remember a couple weeks ago when I went on the little rant about how one of my neighbors is a bitch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so can I give you the next new chapter?
Update.
I got an update.
I've never heard you more emphatically call someone a bitch before.
Oh, he's a fucking bitch. Oh my god, he's a bitch. So I think it was either Monday or Tuesday of this week. I think it was Monday. Whatever, doesn't matter. It was like 75 degrees in town, right?
Oh yeah, toasty.
Beautiful. So, yes.
So children were out playing with butterflies and fawns. You know, and there's just, you know, it was like a scene out of, Snow White, basically. There were, you know, bunny rabbits all around children's feet. And so because my neighbor is a bitch, we've moved the basketball hoop. So if you were to draw a line from each side of their property straight over, it's it It's not in purview of their property, right? So we moved the hoop. And our neighbor to the other side of us, their kid, also a middle schooler, they bought him a hoop. So we move it so they can kind of play. It's, you know, obviously it's not real full court, but we've moved it over so they can kind of play street, you know, sidewalk to sidewalk, full court, right? And so I come home on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day it was, and there's all these neighborhood kids playing at this hoop. And one of them is my youngest.
That's,
and they're playing.
Fantastic.
Yes. God, seems like a good.
Love to see it.
Outside, man. Exercise. I mean,
yeah, seems like a good thing, but apparently I'm wrong. So I get home and, you know, I'm here for a couple minutes and it's nice. So our garage door is open, which leads into our kitchen, and I'm in the kitchen and I'm like, there is no way I can hear my neighbor yelling, but okay. So I go out thinking he's going to be outside. He's not. He's in his house yelling outside of his, or, you know, through his window, and he's yelling at my oldest kid. And I'll tell you what he was yelling at him about and why. He was yelling at my oldest kid that he is going to be a sexual predator and not a basketball player. Like, he has any aspirations of being an NBA player.
But that's your only two options also?
Minutes. Top of his lungs with his whole chest just keeps yelling that my oldest child is going to be a sexual predator and not a basketball player. And do you want to know why my neighbor, who is a bitch, was yelling that he was going to be a sexual predator and not a basketball player? Just guess. Take a wild guess.
Well, he's mentally ill. That's one.
Well, sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
That's probably the actual reason, but what?
Was he boxing out too hard?
No, he was committing the mortal sin of being in our garage and trying to do that two basketball dribble where you dribble the figure eight between your legs.
Oh, yeah.
Inside of our garage. And that prompted him for minutes to rant and yell so loud until his wife shut all the windows that my son is going to be a sexual predator for the mortal sin of trying to dribble like Steph Curry inside of our garage.
It's a slippery slope. Ball handling with basketballs.
Maybe he has a point.
Yeah.
I mean, was he dribbling the balls in like the sign of a pentagram?
Maybe that's what he thought. I went out of the garage and I was just like, and I look at my kids looking at me, and then I look at the wife, and she's like, we're all just like, what in the fuck? And I just kind of walk out. And I'm just like, why are you weird? Stop being weird. Like, not to his property or anything, but I'm just like, stop being weird.
Dude, cut it out.
This is weird. Yeah. This is just weird, man. Why are you weird? Yeah. And he's like 34 years old. He's not in his 70s, not in his 80s, not an old man. He's younger than me. It's just weird. But I just wanted to mention that because I just want to crowdsource that. That's weird, right?
So he had no problems with the kids playing in the street.
What do you think? I think that's what probably set him off. But because they were so far off to the side, he couldn't. Yeah, so he had to yell at my kid, you know, my oldest kid, who wasn't even playing with him.
So he was doing the ball handling drill in your garage.
Inside of our garage.
How did he see it?
Oh, like I said, we had because it was warm, we had the garage door open.
Yeah.
Because were coming.
Does it face your neighbor's house?
It faces their house. They live directly across.
Gotcha.
We kind of leave, like, in these situations, we leave our garage door open because, you know, I'm still one of the weirdos who buys bottled water. So the neighborhood kids will come in and get bottled water and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I hate the earth.
This
I know.
Fucking guy, Eugene, Oregon, doesn't care about the environment.
I don't.
Big Aquafina over here.
Big arrowhead.
Supply.
Love me some dog water.
Little Dasani to quench their thirsts out there.
Yeah.
Set it up.
I am curious what your neighbor thought your son was doing.
No, he knew what he was doing. He's just, he's a crazy person.
Yeah. No,
tonight,
the real answer tonight is he's mentally ill. Like, he's actually, yeah,
tonight he came home from work and was ranting again inside of his house. Couldn't really hear it because they were neighborhood kids playing basketball in the cul-de-sac. He's just an insane person.
He wasn't ranting about the border. I can see that.
Oh my God. He has thoughts on the border. Oh, I guarantee you. But he's so well-read, he thinks Ronald Reagan's name is like Reginald Ronald or something. Like, that's how smart this guy is. Have I mentioned he's a bitch?
A fucking bitch. The thing is,
sounds like a lot of the neighborhood kids are all, you know, middle school going into high school level here soon. He could be in for a rude awakening here in the next 4 years when these kids start hitting 16, 17, 18 and stop wanting to deal with his bullshit.
What did you just say to me? Old man, what did you just call me? Say it again. Yeah, say it again.
Like, I think before we move on from this, but I think I mentioned it last time how he followed my kids home from school when my oldest was in like fourth grade talking shit to them. It was like a fourth grader and a kindergartner. Yes, he's in for a rude awakening when these kids who are now going into high school are now doing weightlifting programs. I hope he enjoys these next 16 months because that testosterone's going to kick in. They ain't taking that shit for much longer. Like, I'm not saying just my kids. I'm saying the neighborhood kids.
I was going to say, when you have the entire neighborhood of, if you got, you know, 6 to 8, you know, preteens going into teens. I mean, if you think they're bad, like, at your parents, just think of random asshole neighbor.
Brutal.
They're just going to get the full fury of just that fucking testosterone.
Oh, yeah.
Just bubbling through. Oh, man.
I tell my kid every time you do a squat and workouts in the morning, just think about that guy. Just think about him. Just think about him.
The question is, do you have a ring cam on your
house? We do. It's far enough away that when he's in his house ranting, you can hear it, but it's muffled. And he doesn't come out the house anymore to rant. So it sucks. But yeah, he said tonight he's going to – one of the things we heard when he was yelling is that he's going to turn us in for harassment because – I'm not quite sure. I think because we were out in our front yard.
Yep. You're breaking the law for sure.
He was waiting until the cops hear about them harassing us. And we were just sitting there like, we can hear you, man. and I talk with my hands the best of time. Like, I'm like a Jewish Italian on steroids. But I just sit there like, I can hear you.
Right.
This is... We're on our lawn. What do you want us to do? But apparently that's harassment.
I got to say, man, you've been incredibly patient. Like, I don't know that I would have the restraint that you have had.
Well, there's nothing I can do. I mean,
Well, no. There are plenty of things that you can do that you you would get in trouble for.
Arrested
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I got to say, man, like if I had somebody yelling shit at my kid, I would very much be probably more aggressive than you have been. Like,
well, I mean, I think I've said before, we had a blow up in the summer and he made it very clear that he would never leave his property because if I breathed on him, he would sue me. Mm-hmm. So he's made that clear. I know where he stands. He will never come out. And the law is the law. I can't come on his property and kick his ass. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I understand it.
Fair enough.
But yes, believe me, I want to rip his larynx out like I'm in fucking Mortal Kombat. You hear that, Gary? You hear that, Grant? Or whatever the fuck your name is, you bitch. You fucking bitch with your name that starts with a G. I don't even fucking respect you, you fucking bitch. You work for Serve Pro, and I want to call those motherfuckers and tell them that you're a fucking bitch. Uh-oh. Tell kids they're child predators.
Uh-oh. We doxed him. I think that's worse.
No, we didn't. Serve Pro is a huge company. I'm sure there's a lot of Gabby's or whatever the fuck his name is.
He's probably Geoff. He's a Geoff.
I'll say you have a couple people in the chat who have made some comments in support of you who would do some things in your stead. So just FYI.
I have said, I think I maybe I said it last time that I want to just like get a bit full on like a gorilla costume and like come into the backside at some point and just like right. like a gorilla and just put nothing but like nuts and bolts and yeah. all the tacks in front of his tires and then just stroll off like a gorilla into the sunset and then just get an apartment or a hotel for a night and you know, so I'm not driving in and out of my driveway. So yeah. you know
exactly.
Love that. Legal idea. Stand on the public sidewalk in front of his house and dribble a basketball at 3 a.m. I like that.
I do like that. I do like that. Thank you for indulging me in this, by the way, you guys. Dude. I need a healthy release because I want to do bad things to him.
No, and I fully support you if you do decide to do bad things to this guy.
I'm here for a pot too, man. No, hit my bail up.
There's a fucking line, and like, first of all, talking to my kid without me there is a big fucking line to cross. Period. Talking yeah. to my kid without me there, unless it's something like, you know, hey, how's it going? Something like that. Second of all, to say the shit that they've said to your kid without you there or period is a huge fucking line to cross. Like, I'm crazy. Burning your house down. I'm sorry. I'm burning your house down. Like, you are not going to make it to the next day unless we have a serious conversation right fucking now. Like,
I will say I'm very intrigued on the sexual predator / the you're not gonna make the NBA. It's two pretty interesting points to try yeah. to make to a child.
I don't know where he's getting that. Like, I don't even know if my kid's making the freshman team next year.
Right.
I'm not quite sure we've talked about the NBA yet.
I mean, have you talked about
the Cooper, apparently?
Now, the other side of that coin, have you talked birds and bees yet?
Oh boy. Can I talk about that?
Have you talked how to respect a woman yet? Or man?
Are you guys familiar with the Miami Hurricanes like seventh floor crew rap from like 15 years ago?
Greg Olson and
yes.
that crew. Yeah.
So this weekend, my oldest shows me a picture, just a straight up Google image picture of Greg Olson. Do you know
He's hanging dong.
No, it's just a picture of him in a suit. And I go, yeah, it's Greg Olson. I played for the Panthers and he's a really good announcer, but people think Tom Brady's going to be better and he's not. So they're kicking him out of the booth. And he was like, have you ever heard his rap song when he was in college? And I was like, have you? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, fuck. His third leg, pulling out, come on the face, the next guy. And I was like, oh, my God. And it's the internet, baby. I can't, you know, I mean.
So the follow-up question is like, how much of that rap did you understand?
Like, right. That's why I kind of dropped it. It's like, you know. He clearly knows what some of this is. I'm not quite ready to talk about the third leg and nutting on the face. Like, I just,
I love the idea that this is where your child learned some of these phrases and ideas.
Oh, like, I know. It's
Greg Olson.
Greg Olson is a sex educator in 2024.
He learned to ejaculate on another human's face.
Yeah. Yeah. If your mother only knew.
Oh, my God, man. Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to transition into the Ducks here. Before we do, welcome to the podcast, everybody. We're like 20 minutes in. Might as well do the official intro. I'm Alex. He's King. He's Ski at TSB Pod, at Jeromny, at TSB Ski. We're on Twitch right now. It's Thursday, around 8 o'clock. twitch.tv/abrog87, A-B-R-A-W-G-87, if you want to watch those. We do them every Thursday around 7:30 or 8. YouTube, search for the Sports Brewery if you want to watch those if you miss them. I post them on there. Also, join our Discord. It's a good time. I mean, Ducks played today. We were chatting during the Duck game on there. It's a good time. Join it. Why not? movie this Sunday. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it. Ricky Stenicki. It is on Prime. Ricky Stenicki, the John Cena vehicle, came out this year on Prime. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday.
You call that a John Cena vehicle instead of a Zac Efron vehicle?
Who's the star of that movie? It's, I mean, so the movie runs through Zac Efron's character, that's for sure. Cena's the star, right?
I mean, he is the titular character in it, so.
Yeah, he is. Okay, so, yeah, do that. Listen, Sunday, whatever. Okay, so the Ducks NCAA tournament opened today. We're recording this, like I said, on a Thursday. It is the 21st. And the Ducks played and beat South Carolina earlier today pretty convincingly. Like, I think I said in the Discord, like, that the win was comfy. Like, Oregon sort of was ahead early and didn't really let South Carolina back into it. And, I mean, I don't know how much like people have watched of the Ducks this year, but that was as good of a win as we've sort of seen from them, right? Like, just defensively, I mean, Cousinard obviously is not going to score 40 every game, but like Dante, the last week or so, Dante has just dominated people and looked the way we sort of have expected him to look his whole career. And so, if Oregon's playing like this, if they're actually defending and rebounding and Dante's playing really good interior defense and scoring, and, you know, if they get one other guy to score, it kind of seems like Oregon might be able to go far, especially the way the tournament is and all these garbage teams that are in it.
Well, you saw both ends of essentially the season for the Ducks. The first, like 6 or 7 minutes, they had like 7 turnovers. And even through that first half, I think they only had maybe 2 threes made in the first half, really. And one was like the first possession from Shellstad. It does show you to what happens when you could, when this team, or even especially just Dana Altman teams in general, when they can consistently make threes, they're a problem. The problem is that they haven't had a team that can consistently do that for years. And I mean, shit, they cut it to 10 late, you know, with maybe like 4 minutes left. I mean, you need a 40-point game out of Cousinard to, you know, kind of hang on there in the end.
I wouldn't say hang on.
It was, I mean, they were up, what, 17 or 18, then it dropped to 10.
But the thing is every time, the couple times Carolina got it down to 10, Oregon came right back and hit a three.
That was the thing.
Or scored. So they never gave them the 2 straight, like, possessions of scoring where it's like, ooh, now it's 7. Ooh, okay. Now it's a little freaky. So they did do a good job, you know, maybe by luck, of just never letting them come too close to them.
Yeah, it helps South Carolina's, I don't think they're very good as a whole. I mean, they were kind of like the Ducks. They didn't make many threes. They had a little flurry in the first half, but that was it. And then they started turning the ball over and the Ducks stopped. That's pretty much what happened in the game.
So the weird thing about this tournament, weird thing about like the nature of college basketball right now, is you have all of these teams that are just by nature rated lower, like Oakland and Kentucky. Like Oakland is better than Kentucky, but they're never going to be rated lower than them. Like, you know, Samford playing Kansas or whatever. Like, you know, like, So Oregon, if you watched Oregon and South Carolina today, it's clear who the better team is. And it's kind of not, it didn't really feel close. And so, yeah, it's just sort of weird. Like, again, like we sort of talked about it when we first started, like watching the tournament, just all of these really bad teams. And a lot of the bad teams are the higher rated ones, like the big names. Like, they are relying simply on name. It's sort of a weird situation. But again, like Oregon, you know, we saw it in the Pac-12 tournament. We saw it today. It's like if they play anywhere close to this, like, I don't see how they don't make the, you know, they play Creighton next. Creighton's a good basketball team, but if they're playing like this, if Dante's playing like that, Oregon's very, very tough to beat.
The thing is, Dante is going to do that. The problem is that you're going to need to combine for 40 plus points with Cousinard and other people. Today they didn't really get much else out of anyone really. I mean, Evans had a good game, but he only scored what, like 6 points. Shellstad hit a three, like I said, at first possession. I don't think he had more than 5 or 7.
He had 11.
11. Tracy's worthless on offense.
Also, an argument though, like they weren't needed. Like if Cousinard scored 40, Dante was unstoppable, so they weren't needed to score.
But the weird thing about Dante today is he was unstoppable on 23 points, but he only shot 9 times.
Yeah,
like that was the weird thing. Is it, yeah, of course, yeah. Like, but South Carolina did the best they could on him. And that was my thing at halftime. I was like, this Mac guy is like 6'8", which means he's 6'7". And they both have 7 points at half. Max just shot it 5 more times or 6 more times than Dante, who hasn't missed. And he has 3 fouls and Dante has 1. He's not going to keep this up. And he did not, you know. And that guy fucking hit like 2 threes in the last 9 minutes of the game just out of fucking nowhere.
But this is one of the games, especially, you know, there's a lot of these teams that are built like that South Carolina team where they're not super huge. You know, I think their biggest guy, main player is like 6'9". That's one of those times where like a healthy Duck team, like with Biddle there too. It's like, God, it's hard to see. There's not many teams that could stack up 2 7-footers and then like 6'8" Kwame Evans. So it also kind of bums you out with like another Duck team of what could have been. Especially if they lose to Creighton tomorrow. It's like, well, what could have been with that Zarzuela healthy too? And all of a sudden you got another wing.
Mookie Cook is healthy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 2 more 6'5 guys in there. It's like, man.
If he's just a 6'6" guy that scores 9 points a game, that is, for this team, fucking enormous. Because, like, whenever they put in, like, Diawara, especially, and like Rigsby, they're on the court at the same time together, I mean, it's never for more than 2 minutes of game time. And it's always, please just keep, you know, these 2 minutes, don't get outscored by more than like 6 points or 5 points. You know, don't give up a 9-0 run in these 2 minutes, because all DOR is there to do is for Dante to sit down, breathe, come back in.
You always notice Dana takes Dante out with like 20 seconds before the TV timeout, just so he gets that extra little minute or two of a blow. Yeah. No, but at least the matchup against Creighton, I mean, Creighton's pretty depleted too. I think they only play 7 guys and mostly play 5 for the most part.
Yeah, it's a weird matchup because if Cousinard is awesome and Shellstad is decent, and Dante just does what Dante does, which I think he will against Creighton, because they're skinny. They're tall, but they're skinny.
Creighton's got that big white dude who is
Big white.
He's lumbering.
That's nothing.
No.
But their other tall guys, they shoot three, so I'm terrified that Dante is going to get pulled out. And if they're stinging threes at a 40% clip, because they shoot almost as much as anyone in the nation. They're kind of like Daryl Morey, James Harden, you know, Rockets iteration of analytics. If they're hitting threes, it's going to be hard. Because just trading twos versus threes, duh, math. You know what I mean? I know Ducks, I went to the University Ducks of Oregon, but we can still do that math.
Yeah, Ducks can't shoot with them.
No, absolutely not. So, I mean, you know, like I've said in the Discord, homer alert, I picked the Ducks to go to the Sweet 16. So I thought they would win today. I think they can win on Saturday, which is a big difference.
Yeah. I mean,
Go ahead.
I said, I currently have bets on Ducks to make the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and to win it all.
Oh,
just because it was, I mean,
the value.
it was 250-1.
Right.
I was just like, hey, if they're going to somehow miraculously win it all, I want to cash in on it. So.
I think it was Seth Davis that had him had Oregon as his dark horse national title winner.
Can you imagine?
This
team out of all Oregon teams that have ever existed winning the national title. Led by Jadrian Tracy. Like,
and when did Jadrian Tracy become Bam Tracy? When did that happen?
Maybe halfway through the Pac-12 schedule.
I heard it before 2 weeks ago, but I swear, like, once they went to the LA schools the Bay Area schools. Everyone just called him Bam? I've heard it, but now that's just his name?
I think it was about the same time they started calling Kwame Evans KJ.
KJ?
I think it was about the same time. And most announcers don't call him that, also. It just, whoever finds that little tidbit, like, through their notes of, like, 2 months ago, they're like, oh, I'm going to...
The KJ one kills me, because I'm like, are they combining Kwame with Junior? They're just putting the Junior before the
Evans? Yeah, it's kind of cheap,
I'm so surprised.
No, but Bragi, you said you'd be, of all the teams for the Ducks, that this would be the one. The difference is, though, as a whole, there's no real good college basketball teams. There's no powerhouse. I mean, even the one seeds, I mean, you're scared of Purdue. I mean, I'm not scared of Purdue. Houston scored 40 points in getting bounced from their conference tournament.
That's what we talked about. There's nobody good in this tournament. There's like no elite teams in this tournament. And so you're not wrong. Like, a team can catch a heater. Like, Oregon is on a certifiable heater right now. Like, the way they played in the Pac-12 tournament and the way they played today, they are on a heater. Like, Cousinart scoring 40 points doesn't make sense. Other than they're on a heater. And so they could keep that shit going. I mean, they only have to do it a few more times. There you go.
They literally just beat one of the quote unquote elite teams a week ago. I mean, that says it all right there. I mean, they beat a number two seed, they came out with over the last 20 or 25 years, only one team has won a national title that wasn't like top 25 in offensive defensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. And there's seven teams this year that has it. Arizona's one of them. And the Ducks beat them.
Yep.
When Dante got hurt.
Yep. Yep. By the way, can we just think back a month ago and the conversations we were having about Dana and about Graves and, I think the Graves conversation's still on the table because the women's team turned down an NIT invitation, finished with the worst season in like 30 years or something like that. So it's like Westhead was here. But Dana, we're fools. We're fools for even broaching the topic. And I know, King, you brought up logic. You brought up like the fact that there's tons of injuries, the fact that I was talking about how, like, if you're going to replace Dana, you better find somebody better. So really what I'm saying is, Ski, you were saying they should fire. No, but like, sort of the narrative about even broaching the topic of firing Dana Altman is just insane. It's insane.
There is difference between, being good throughout the season and just catching heat at the right time. Because look at, if otherwise you could get stuck like the Beavs, where you got Tinkle that went on one, I don't know how the miracle he had to do, how many, people he had to bring into his fucking church, to fucking cause that. It was an Elite Eight run or a Final Four run from the Beavs.
Yeah, Elite Eight,
right? You can't say that team was good. And you can't say Tinkle was good. College basketball is a weird beast where if you just get hot at the right time, you only have to win five games in a row.
Well, I mean, the thing about Altman, it's been true from year one to year 14. he's not a November and December coach.
No, definitely not.
And I will say this, that it affects, and especially the last couple of years, it affects fanfare. Because when you're losing, like, even go back, we're now talking like 6 years ago, they had Bol Bol. And then they go to New York and they beat the shit out of top 15 Syracuse. We're like, and they beat an Iowa team that's ranked 24th or whatever.
Like Luke Garza. They beat Luke Garza.
Well, no, that was later. That was in the tournament.
Oh, in the tournament, yeah.
But the Syracuse, and then they come home and they lose to fucking Texas State. You know what I mean? Texas Southern, yes. And it's just like, they always have a shit steamer loss or two in November and December. And that's already a hard sell. I know we're covering old stuff. When the students aren't in town, well, there was Matt Court or Matthew Knight Arena. That arena's it's not full and they know it, so they don't schedule good opponents. So when he loses the shit game and on top of losing a game to a good team, and all of a sudden you're like, well, they're 4-2. Why would I go tonight? Ah, they're 7-3. Why would I go tonight? He is a March coach. He it sucks. Some coaches are built for regular season. Some are built for the tournament. He's clearly built for the tournament. Like,
the hard part is sometimes not really being that guy, you know, in the first couple months kind of might keep you out of the tournament. He is a guy.
100%.
If he gets his team in the tournament, as we show, he's undefeated in the first round.
Well, no, and I think this is eighth tournament at Oregon. And I think he's gone like round of 64, round of 64, or round of 64, Sweet 16, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, Sweet 16, Sweet 16. Yeah. Right? So that's great.
What do you want?
But it's
what do you want? You want that, right? That's what you want.
I mean,
right?
it's I think it's a bag. I think it's a gas. It's really fun to watch them in March.
Or it's Oregon basketball. I mean, you're not expecting titles or even like consistent Final Fours.
Yeah.
Sweet 16. Yeah. Sweet 16. I expect every 3 or 4 years. How about that?
I think it's fantastic. They get to the second weekend. I'm perfectly fine. Oregon football. Different session, but it's fun and different. It's a different sport. We're a football school. Dana gets to the Sweet 16 this year. I am perfectly fine with it. Like, totally cool with it. He kind of does some of it to himself where they come into January 1st and it's like, you know, except for those like 3 Dylan Brooks years. It's like,
well, I just thought of this also is. Over the last, four or five years, he's relied, maybe a lot of that, he's been relying so much on transfers, right? I guess maybe he just spends those first 2 months and doesn't care about winning. He's just like, I don't even score. As long as you're, because all he cares about is playing fucking defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna grind and ride you guys out until you learn how to play fucking
defense. Hubba hubba.
Oh, Dana rides him hard, baby.
He's not even borderline erotic. He's just erotic.
That was just sexy. No.
But then also on the other end, you could see why maybe some freshmen coming in aren't too thrilled to stick around outside that year because of that.
I mean,
all he cares about is defense and, you know, that stuff and not scoring and the cool things that you're supposed to do as a freshman.
Can you imagine this team right now? Biddle's out, right? Biddle is out. They have Dante dominating. They have KJ, Kwame Evans Jr., and they have Khalil Ware.
And potentially Quincy Guerrier, who's, I think, might lead Illinois in scoring.
But you know, I'm not even going for that full package. I'm just saying the true freshman, Khalil Ware, it didn't click last year and he transferred. Perfectly within his rights, good for him. But can you imagine Dante and Ware playing off each other? Like, oh my god, that is a mismatch for most teams. Now, there will be teams that could exploit today, guys, for sure. Not saying that's, you know, panacea to win the fucking title. Right. But man, like you're saying, like Dana's first 2 months, I do think that kind of drives off some of these, you know, five-star big men, okay. You know, not even necessarily big men, these five-star guys, because it's rough, it's ugly.
And like, you know, I said, no, the fans aren't showing up.
The fans aren't showing up. And how many games did you go to this year, Ski?
I don't know, eight?
Eight? Okay, I think it went to like five. You know, and I bet you I'm in like the top 33%.
We also do this podcast on Thursdays when they like to play. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we probably should switch that to like a Wednesday. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe in the Big Ten we'll be playing Mondays at, you know, 4 o'clock West Coast time.
On the cock, too.
Yeah. You better subscribe to the cock.
Better than Pac-12 Network. I can tell you that much.
You do?
Which by the way, the end of the Pac-12 Network happened. It's right. I mean, that's done, right?
Yeah. No, it's, well, I mean, it's no, still
they still
a
have rights to it. Yeah.
They're doing sprint. Yeah, I guess they got baseball still, huh? Baseball and softball. Still.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it's still they're still running it next year.
Next year?
Yes.
For what?
I don't know, but I heard Ashley Adamson on a radio interview. Uh-huh. Saying that I think there'll be like five on-air personalities next year. She's not one of them. She's gone. She's going to the Big Ten Network. Breaking good. News. Yeah. You heard it here first. Good guys, Ashley Adamson is going to the Big Ten Network. A little birdie told me this. When it happens, remember this. 8:32 on March 21st, 2024. She's going to the Big Ten. Don't
love
doubt
that.
Me.
Love that.
But yeah, I think it's going to be like Yogi Roth and like four people and... It's just going to be very
Yogi
sad.
Yogi can't get another gig.
I think he's too faithful. He's the ultimate positive guy. I love him. I don't believe a word he fucking says about any team in the Pac-12, but I love that guy. Can you imagine being that positive?
Or any quarterback he's ever talked about. Like everything he said is just a... I think he genuinely thinks what he's saying is true.
100%.
Everything he says is inaccurate about quarterbacks he's coached. Every single
time. I love Anthony Brown. His anticipation, his footwork. I have not seen something like this since. And you're like...
I mean, have you seen a better quarterback than Keaton Slovis? I mean, come on. Did you see Keaton Slovis? I think he ran the fastest 40 of all quarterbacks.
Jesus.
Yeah. He's fast. He may not be a playing quarterback, though, but.
I'm trying to remember the quarterback's name for Oregon. He was like number 11. It was like kind of a long, funky name. I can't remember.
How long ago?
Yeah, not that long ago. It was like 6 years ago, maybe.
Let's see. So he went through Chuck.
Transferred like immediately. I forget. He played like 1 year, was really shitty. That's going to bug me. He was like kind of short and white. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Definitely white.
Whatever. Now, obviously very memorable, but I remember he was like a really highly rated quarterback coming into Oregon, and all he talked about was how great he was at Elite 11, and just he just was a garbage,
well, like
garbage
Jake player. Rodriguez or something.
No. Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Braxton Burmeister
is the player. Thank you very much for that. He said Burmeister was so good. Like, I was hyped on Burmeister based simply on what Yogi Roth was saying. Oh, he's the shit. Let's go. Get that Arizona pipeline, baby.
No, of all the quarterbacks that have come through Oregon that could just, you know, throws that 5-yard missile, you know, 6 yards short of the guy. I think Burmeister was the leader in the clubhouse as maybe the worst thrower.
Remember when Chris Harper tried to play quarterback?
That one game.
The one game against Boise State. And then they were like, oh, no. We got to burn Darren Thomas's red shirt. Yeah. Good times, man. All right. Anything else on the tourney? Or the Ducks? So they play Creighton tomorrow. So by the time you're... No, Saturday.
Well,
that's right. Saturday. Yeah, they take a... Yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. So by the time...
I guess it depends. It depends on when you're listening to this.
By the time you're listening to this, Oregon might have played already against Creighton. We'll see.
Oregon won. Did you hear? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Ducks,
yeah.
Beat me down.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Start spreading the news.
The Blue Jays? Is that what they are?
Yeah. Fucking, they're just a fucking dental school. Who the fuck cares? Yeah, we got
honestly,
this.
Honestly, big toothpaste has nothing on us.
I mean, we got the big advantage. I mean, Altman, you know, built that program there. So yeah. Got to have some inside info, right?
He built them. He can tear them down. You know what I'm saying? That's right.
He built that program on rock and roll.
Definitely not on rock and roll, unless you think the Eagles are rock and roll.
What is your problem with the Eagles, man?
They're bad.
They're not bad.
I think the Eagles.
Name your top three rock bands from that era.
Oh, I know you would. How about Wings? They're the same as Wings.
No, they're not. Wings
they're the
is
the same as Wings.
They're not.
They're a mixture between the Beach Boys and Wings.
Well, Wings is actually terrible and did not last and does not pop. No one's listening to Wings in 2024.
Everyone's listening to Paul McCartney. I
mean, everybody's listening to Paul McCartney. Nobody is listening to Wings, Ski. Nobody ever listens to Wings.
We went over this when we didn't know a single Wings song. And we're like, oh, that's the Wings? Huh. All right.
It's because they're bad. I think the thing with the Eagles, because I'm sort of with you, is they were played out so much during my high school experience that like I truly... Like whenever they come on, I'm like, oh my God, I've heard this song. Cause you know, whoever it was who was in charge of our music before football practices and stuff, like they would play the Eagles like every single, was it Fender? I don't even know, man. Like they play the fucking Eagles every day. And it's like,
Hotel California is awful.
Hotel California ever again. No, like I can't
ever.
Like, yeah, it's hundreds of times I've heard that song. Like it's enough already. So
I guess you could say whoever was playing that song took it to the limit one more time.
They were way beyond the fucking limit, man.
I mean, it's better than playing fucking there's lifting weights. Judging bands on lifting weight music is terrible.
It's just
a lot of Guns N' Roses.
A lot of Guns N' Roses. It's bad.
Truth. All right, should we talk about Shohei? Any thoughts on Shohei and the translator? Like it's a weird fucking story, cuz you know, the news came out that he was, you know, that
I don't even know what the official news is right now, cuz it's changed like 4 times since it originally dropped.
So that's the thing, like the bookie is under investigation, right? Like,
yes.
Was it IRS?
Talk about taking it to the limit.
Yeah, yeah. They're finding out what the limit is, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know if it was IRS or RICO. You know, they were trying to set up RICO charges or something.
The IRS has the bookie under investigation or whatever, and they tied a charge to Shohei Ohtani. Like, he gave like $4.5 million to this dude in a wire transfer. And so the translator comes out and is like, yeah, he did that for me to cover my gambling debts. And then the next day goes back on that and is like, he didn't have any knowledge of my gambling debts. He didn't do any of this, like whatever. And so it's pretty clear that this dude had a problem. He told the truth to ESPN when they asked him. And then the Dodgers and Shohei's attorneys got a hold of him and were like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Stop talking. Like, tell them you didn't do, like, tell them Shohei didn't do this and didn't know that you were doing it.
See, again, what's the truth is the big part of it.
Would you say the translator was a desperado?
No. That song sucks too.
Wow. Take it easy.
Got any more? You just listening at their top hits?
Well, I mean, if Shohei's doing this, he's definitely living life in the fast lane.
I'm not saying anything, man.
I'm waiting for you. See if he's got any more.
I hope it's not true. I hope this ends. We get a peaceful, easy feeling. I mean, Shohei just went to the Dodgers. He's the new kid in town. I mean, if he has to leave the league, or if he gets kicked out for gambling, where's he gonna live? A hotel in California?
All right. We finally hit the one. I was a little bit of a stretch. All
I
right.
think you found the limit. I think you found it.
One more time. Go one more time. One more time. Let's go.
Hey, give us one more.
I mean, when Pete Rose did this, I thought it was disgusting gambling. If Shohei Ohtani is doing it, it is my last resort. I'm not putting up with this anymore.
Upper Roach?
They covered that song.
Cut Your Life Into Pieces?
Yeah.
This is your last resort?
You don't remember that Eagle song?
I think I forgot that one.
Yeah, well, you're a witchy woman.
All right, love that one. Mic drop. Perfect. Well done.
Real quick,
AK47 in the chat, first time chatter. Welcome.
Andre Kirilenko's in the chat. Shit.
Yes, I know. Burmeister had quite a career. 3 schools, 5 years, 38 games in college. Got signed by the Rams as a wide receiver. Got cut, then signed with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Hell yes.
His first game is in 2 months, apparently.
That's yeah, go hell fun. Yeah.
That's
good. Love fun, that,
man.
That's great.
That's so great. Good.
That's a fun life.
Genuinely happy for that dude. Yeah,
I think he ended his career at San Diego State. I mean, how can you?
Yeah, I think that's where he was.
Yeah.
Go from San Diego to Winnipeg. You gotta love that.
Yeah, gotta love baby. That.
Yeah, the big peg. Yeah. What were we talking about?
Shohei.
That's right. Yeah.
No. So I mean. For what do I think, actually? I mean, I think there's a chance it was Shohei gambling and this guy took the fall. I think the better chance is that Shohei actually did pay this guy off himself, which as a commissioner, you're going to have to address that. Yeah. There's going to have to be something. You can't be paying bookies. Yeah.
For anything. You cannot be tied to this person whatsoever. And I understand the scenario where you're like, your friend, because this dude's with him every day. Single day this dude is with him. He is his friend. He's his best friend. He is with him every day. And I understand wanting to like help your friend. Where he's in a bind, by the way, $4.5 million, my dude, like, holy shit. Where do you get that money to bet in the first place? Okay. That's like sort of beside the point, but, or maybe it's not. Well,
obviously it was on credit because he owed it.
Yeah.
But
the other
reason this thing, falls apart in my eyes is this guy isn't like a money guy for Shohei. He, that's where usually people embezzle money from, athletes and stuff like that. Where if this guy stole the money, how did he get access to $4.5 million without Shohei knowing? There's no way Shohei didn't know what was going on. There's just no way. I'm sorry. There's no way.
Impossible. And it's fairly easy to tie the money to Shohei. I mean, the paper, he created the paper trail. It's there. And the IRS has that information. Therefore, Major League Baseball can have that information, essentially. So that's the thing, too, is like if it's part of an active investigation, the IRS might not want to give Major League Baseball that information. But then again, it has leaked to somebody to where the story has come out. So
this is also, this is not like Calvin Ridley betting on DraftKings. This is an illegal bookie also, which I think in and of itself is a crime of some kind.
Sports betting is not legal in California.
Which is crazy. It is crazy. Yeah.
Especially when they have casinos there too, where they could tie it all in if they wanted to. I mean, the arena is called Crypto. It's the biggest, gambling house there ever was, Crypto. I mean, come on. No, but the problem is what do you do with the golden goose? I mean, Ohtani is, right now is the face of baseball. He just got the biggest contract ever. He brings in millions and millions of people from Asia. I don't see... They're going to find a way to the weakest slap on the wrist punishment possible is what they're looking into. Because, like I said, they're going to have to do something if it comes out that it is actually him spending, you know, paying him off.
Well, Booble said it in the chat, like, does Manfred have the stones to suspend Shohei?
No. No. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there is precedent now with... I mean, the other thing is, was... I don't, I'm not sure how they... unless they have, like, the bookie's book where he took all the bets, was the guy betting on baseball? Because if this was just, like, if his interpreter lost $4.5 million on DraftKings, right, betting lacrosse, right, there's no harm, no foul in that. Even if Shohei handed the money to DraftKings, the bookie... You have to. You made the whole thing with Pete Rose of gambling in baseball. You have to come down on him somehow.
But it's not him.
Him, well, we don't know for sure it's not him. We only hear what Ohtani's lawyer is saying. It could be, and this guy's taking, you know, as a fall man.
Boy,
we don't know.
Boy, that would be genuinely one of the most shocking stories I've ever heard, I think.
Is it? I mean, there are stereotypes that are true. Have you guys been to a casino?
Easy.
It's not even a bad
one. I just want to put this out here. We're doing reckless talk.
It's not even a bad one, but Asian people like to gamble. You know, biggest casino in the world is in Macau. They like to gamble.
Have you ever been to that casino in the City of Industry of California? Shout out to our friend. Boy, he got his shit packed in by Asians. They saw that white boy and were like, got him.
So
we fucking got him.
So I know Ohtani shows this, you know, perfect guy, you know, that he, you know, portrays himself as. I just will not be put by it that he could have gambled it himself.
I don't know. I honestly don't think Shohei gave. I do think he paid off that portion, which is problematic unto itself, but I don't think he
can. And again, is there anything wrong with it if he wasn't betting baseball? Michael Jordan lost $100 million.
Well, that's what I was saying today on Twitter. Shohei Ohtani just needs to retire for a year and go chase off his... Fuck was that?
What are you celebrating? You celebrating Ohtani's day?
What the hell was that?
Did you buy Nitro? What is going on?
Needs to retire for a year.
Listener, yeah. King just like made a motion and then suddenly balloons started coming up on his picture.
Let me see if I do this again. Shohei Ohtani needs to retire for a year. Nothing, okay. And then chase his childhood dream, like Michael Jordan, you know, of just chasing basketball, and then come back and it'll all be fine. Like Michael Jordan did, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. That was weird. That threw me for a loop.
I know.
Glad you guys saw it. Cause I was freaking out.
And our like stream apparently crashed, but it never showed as crashed for me. And we were still going on as normal. And then suddenly it just came back and everybody was back viewing again. So everything was weird. Do we want to just end the podcast? Do we want to just do the list?
Yeah, just do the list.
Let's just do the list. Okay. Nothing on Aaron Donald retiring or anything like that. Or Washington's AD going to Nebraska. Do we want to troll or no?
Okay. I just think it's funny that he took the job on the 15th hole while fundraising for UW.
Amazing story there. Like the fact that he is on a fundraising golf trip with these huge high-level donors, and he's on the 15th hole, leaves to take a phone call, and never comes back. Fucking incredible. Yep. That's an incredible story.
And of all places, Nebraska? I mean, is that...
They pay well.
Paying you more money, you take that job. Yes. Yeah. And it's a school that, like, legitimately cares. about their sports, even if they're bad.
Like, they are bad.
Nebraska sells out their football games every single week, and they're not good.
They're in the NCAA tournament, fools.
Exactly.
They're the ones with, I think they're calling him the Japanese Kobe Bryant. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. And I don't quite understand the comp. He misses a lot of shots. Is that what they're like? He's a chucker.
I don't know his name. I thought they could have played it off of like Linsanity somehow. You know, they already did that once with Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, I don't like it. I heard that over the weekend. I was like, that's not true.
For the Japanese Kobe Bryant, I've never fucking heard of this guy. So
he wears a headband. Where are you connecting with Kobe?
Also, probably just don't bring up Kobe tied to anybody else. Like, maybe just don't compare people to Kobe. Maybe just don't do that. Maybe that too. Yeah. Too soon.
How about the Japanese, like Steph Marbury? That I can maybe get behind.
Starbury. Yeah. The Japanese Starbury. He made all his money selling those shoes in China, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah. China. All right, list this week. It comes from Booble in Discord. Join our Discord, Sports Brewery in the Discord. If you need an invitation to that, just ask us for one. Or if you're already in there, find the Sports Brewery in there and join it. Top three TV show sidekicks who deserved a spinoff. Top three TV show sidekicks who deserve a spinoff.
I'll
start.
It's all right. Good.
I'm going to go. My number three is Bra-Man from Martin.
Bra-Man.
Yeah.
Bra-Man.
If you don't remember, he was the guy who would like climb in through Martin's window. Fantastic, fantastic character. I would love to see, like, maybe not like a full series, like maybe not like 100 episodes, but a mini series. Give me 8 episodes, 45 minute each of Bra-Man. That's what I want.
Oh, I guess I'll go from. So this whole thing started with talking Curb and Seinfeld. So my number three, and God, I hope it does, is Leon from Curb should have his own spinoff.
That's one that could actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And JB Smoove, I have a feeling, would do it also.
Totally.
Well, that was my number three, so I will change it and say Saul and Robert from Frankie and Grace. Let's give Martin Sheen another role.
Sam Watterson. Perfect. Threes from the chat. Booble says Al from Home Improvement. WCP says Amos Burton from The Expanse. I haven't seen The Expanse.
I haven't seen The Expanse.
I think that's a crime show, if I recall.
Okay.
If I recall.
My number two is Brock Sampson from Venture Brothers. It's a cartoon. I don't expect anybody here has seen that cartoon, but it was on Adult Swim.
Yeah. Was he not the star of the show?
Patrick Warburton did the voice for him. Yeah.
Was he not the main character though?
Nope. That'd be Doc Venture, who was the main character. Rusty. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish Fry would get a spinoff.
Frylock?
Yeah, Frylock, now that you mention it.
There you go. Yeah. We should just have this list.
It's not my list, but you mentioned Adult Swim.
What would Billy get its own spinoff?
Oh my gosh.
Get you some trim.
Trim.
My impersonation of that character is your impersonation of that character. It's an impersonation of you doing that character. Yeah. Gonna go get me some trim. Let's
get some trim. Early.
All right, my number two is Stevie from Eastbound and Down. because I don't even know what you would do with it, but there's so many different directions you could go.
Yeah. That would be a fucking terrible show.
Oh, he cannot be the lead. That character cannot be the lead in a show.
In anything. I know.
How is he your number two? Yeah.
Because it'd be funny still.
My number two, NoHo Hank from Barry.
Is that the bald guy?
Yeah. Right? Put some respect on Barry. Jeez Louise, is he the bald guy?
I only watched the first season of Barry, so.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two's from the chat. Booble says Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. So are we talking like a grown up Bobby Hill, and that's when we're doing the series, or WCP says Bobby Draper from The Expanse.
There's a thing here.
Yeah. What's Edie Patterson's character on Righteous Gemstones? I forget. She's one of them. I think that character deserves. That's like an honorable mention that I literally just thought of. I was like, that character should have its own show. But my actual number one is Kramer from Seinfeld.
It's a little problematic, possibly.
Maybe not now. Back when Seinfeld was on or just ended, there should have been. Because I think everybody naturally would go towards Costanza. I don't know that Costanza would actually be like a funny show. I don't know.
Well, again, that's Curb essentially was a spinoff of George. I mean, Larry David more or less is George Costanza.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe George would probably be a better show. Because if you could bring back in the Yankees storyline and that stuff, like, okay. I think there's probably more there, but
anytime you can get Danny Tartable into your show, you just have to.
I love that scene of him like showing Jeter how to hit. It's fucking it's a work of art.
What did he say? They go, "We won the World Series last year." In six games.
So good.
Talking with Bernie Williams, get Bernie Williams in there too, and Paul O'Neill. God, we got everyone. Do you think there's no Kramer bobblehead day, but there's a George Costanza assistant to the traveling secretary bobblehead day at Yankee Stadium this year, which is fantastic.
Brilliant idea. Execution's not great.
But no, that's what started the whole thing in the chat about.
It did. Kurt, yeah, join the Discord, guys. It's a good time. We've talked about this.
Wazoo's getting worked.
Hey.
Booble
says, by the way, he's thinking Bobby Hill gets taken by Child Protective Services, and that's where the series starts.
Ooh.
Damn it, Bobby. Damn it, boy.
Government.
Bring back Bobby.
Where's Bobby?
This is what I get for voting red.
I should have put up a wall. Damn it.
Rig Abbott. Dag Nabbit.
I think you just found whoever's going up against Greg Abbott. That's their slogan.
Greg Abbott, Dag Nabbit. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. What's your one?
Me? My number one would be Jefferson Darcy. From Married with Children.
I should have seen where that was going.
One of the single greatest characters. And I think he only came in like season six too. But I never even fucking think of remember Steve because he fucking sucks.
Steve's the remind me who Steve was.
He was one that was married to Marcy first.
Like
the
white dude with like the
kind of looked like Garvey's hair.
Absolutely Steve Garvey. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Is he like the Roger Dorn character, essentially? It's been a while since I've seen Married with Children.
Looked a lot like Dorn. Yep. Yep.
I think he was like a lawyer, drove like a Mercedes. Yeah, he was in Major League Two.
He was in Major League Two.
All right, what's your one?
All right. Because I believe in a thing called love, I will take Roy and Keeley from Ted Lasso.
All right. From what I read, I think that's where they're going with the show. Because
are they really?
I think so. Yeah, because I there's too much money that they're going to stop.
Oh, but, God, they got. Yeah, they.
But I mean, when, you know, Ted, I don't, they can't call it Ted Lasso if Ted Lasso ain't there. But the, I can never remember the chick that owned the team. They just want her and Roy. They just pretty much want everyone still.
Yeah, because she, I was thinking that too, because the last season she had the owner of the team had that fling with the dude who owned the boat or whatever in Amsterdam. That would be a good storyline to follow too. You know? Yeah, man, that show so good. You know, like,
it's become hip to hate it because it did come in a perfect time. Super positive while we're all locked in our homes just by chance. Mm-hmm. And maybe the ending was, you know, the last season wasn't great.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was enjoyable as hell. I really liked it. I liked Ted Lasso.
It's a feel good show. I
yeah.
It's a, you know, it's,
and like, Nate's an asshole. Fuck Nate.
Yeah, we hate Nate here.
We hate Nate.
Yeah, not, yeah, we do not support Nate.
We hate the Nate.
Or West Ham. Yeah.
Wazoo hates the Drake. We hate the Nate.
I've always been more of an East Ham guy myself. I've always said that. So.
I mean, who forgets that rivalry against North Ham? I mean.
Yeah, man.
Is there another ham?
No.
They're the only ham. They just need that directional.
Yeah.
And it's a,
yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Pick your. Yeah.
Fucking Euros. God damn it.
Your directional hams, man. Yeah. All right. One's from the chat. WCP says Herman from The Simpsons. Who's Herman?
Mole Man? Is that Mole Man?
I might have to Google this.
I think that might be Mole Man's name, maybe.
Herman from The Simpsons. He's, oh, okay, he's the dude with, like, one arm. Can you even see that? This guy.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
That guy is currently at the border right now in Malaysia.
He is at, yeah, Eagle Pass, Texas, yeah. Right now.
I want to see a series about Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. That's what I want to see. give me that show.
I can just watch Letterkenny. It's about the same.
Yeah, fair enough.
Canadian.
And then Booble says Cal from Keenan and Kel. He's back.
I know we're running long. We want to end this.
Yeah, we do.
Has that new Keenan and Kel movie come out on whatever streaming platform? Did it come out?
Tubi? Is that what it was coming out on?
No, or? I knew it was on something legit.
I don't know.
Okay. Sorry, I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, boy, that thing is going to be a fucking disaster.
I guess it would have been called, what, Good Burger 2?
I think so.
Let's see. Good. Good Burger 2, yeah. I think it's out. Yeah, came out in 2023.
Oh, okay. Well, must have been a hit.
Pete Davidson.
Sounds like it went over well.
It's on Paramount.
Okay,
because it's a Nickelodeon film, so
that's okay.
It's currently, out if you want to watch it. It's available.
Currently has a 5.3 out of 10 on.
Hey,
yeah. Hey,
it's better than you guys gave Bottoms combined.
All right, fair
this
enough.
This is true.
Let's see. Honorable mention: Groundskeeper Willie for WCP2. That's another character. Uncle Joey from Full House. Uncle Jesse, he meant Booble. Uncle Jesse,
well,
from Full House. Yeah,
as long as he has the Rippers.
Because Uncle Joey was the cut it out, right? Dave, yeah. Coulier.
He's the one that had sex with Alanis Morissette,
like in real life.
Yeah, I would too.
Good for him. Yeah,
Dave Coulier.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Legend.
Big Red Wings fan, apparently, even though he's Canadian.
That doesn't make sense. All right, movie podcast on Sunday. Watch it. Listen to
top three Alanis Morissette songs. Go. Yeah,
it's a little.
Ignore that.
It's a little too ironic. Yeah.
Name three Alanis Morissette songs.
Yeah. Come on, you ought to know.
I was waiting to see if you had more.
That was one. We got one.
I think we got two. All right, so movie on Sunday. Watch it on Prime, Ricky Stenicki. Listen to us talk about it. We'll see you then, and see you next week. Goodbye. Alanis is God, says Booble.